Hey everyone, welcome to Locked On Lakers for Thursday. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky. The Lakers lose game five in Golden State. Did they also lose Anthony Davis for game six? That's next.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday. No matter how or where you get your podcast, it's always going to be free. It's never going to be behind a paywall. And Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you can go to worry with over 16,000 Lakers and NBA fans. Get some group coping going on because, Andy, the Lakers lose game five up in Golden State. The final score is 121-106. That is in and of itself not all that surprising. I actually picked the Warriors to win that game. The big problem for the Lakers was that Anthony Davis took a big forearm to the head about halfway through the fourth quarter from Warriors center Kevon Looney. He left the game immediately, and basically as soon as they were able to get him into the tunnel, they got him off the sidelines. He was wheeled back to the locker room, and as was my impression, required a wheelchair because he was a little woozy, presumably. And so his status is very much up in the air going forward with a head injury.
Yeah, first want to clarify just to make sure people understand, the elbow from Looney was inadvertent. He was going for a rebound of a D'Angelo Russell missed layup.
Arguably careless. It was not intentional, and it didn't feel terribly dirty to me. Careless, not intentional.
To be perfectly honest,
Looney does have a history of loose elbows, but
I don't even think that was this. I think
it's pretty ordinary play.
Yeah, this was I thought that was worth clarifying because of what you were just mentioning right there. Chris Haynes from Yahoo and TNT reported that his sources told him. Early indications are that Anthony Davis has avoided a concussion, but that is, to the best of anybody's knowledge, at least in terms of what we're hearing, nothing that is official. I don't know what testing protocols, et cetera, Anthony Davis has gone through at this point for them to land at this conclusion. Hopefully that is the case, because if he did have a concussion, the likelihood of him playing 48 hours later seems basically impossible. And frankly, game seven could be in jeopardy if there is a game seven.
All of it becomes that. Because my understanding, and we'll have more details certainly for Friday's show as we go into game six. But
it might even trickle through Twitter as we do this show.
It could. And if it does, we will trickle it to you. A lot of trickling. But if he does go in the concussion protocol, my understanding is it's 24 hours where he can't do anything, and a full 24 hours, and then you are reassessed. So the next step, I guess, is to see whether or not you get any news that AD has been officially put into the concussion protocol. It didn't look good. head injuries are strange. Sometimes. A blow to the head that looks worse. Draymond Green hit his head really hard in game four and seemed okay afterwards. But, it's the location, it's the speed, it's the position of your neck when you get hit. All these things play a role. And the results for AD, he was clearly made quite woozy. He had a lot of trouble focusing. You could see it on the sideline.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know. This is maybe 15 or so years ago, I was in a car accident and I got knocked unconscious and, ended up coming to, had to get taken in an ambulance to the emergency room. And somehow I managed
it wasn't a whambulance. It was a real injury.
No, this
here
was
comes although the whambulance to pick up Andy and his head injury.
I will say, as long as you're going to make the whambulance joke and force me to defend myself for no particular reason, because again, it should be noted, I was in a car accident and I was in the back of a taxi cab And as people often do in cabs because they're idiots, and in my particular case, I was taking a cab because I had been drinking. You think for some reason, because people are driving you, you don't need to wear a seatbelt. When we got hit, my head went into the divider between me and the driver. So, I mean, that's really hard impact. I walked out of that cab under my own power.
Yeah.
So this guy.
Kobe would have done that too. And it is worth noting to think for people how good your podcast would be today if that didn't happen. These are all right now. I mean, you're doing pretty well, but think how much better they could have been. You just don't know with head injuries. And it wasn't really, this is less important, and we'll get back to AD here, but like the Lakers had a stretch where obviously AD gets, that's the most serious one. He leaves the game, but LeBron clearly tweaked an ankle. I think that was the fourth quarter as well. Dennis Schroeder looked like he stepped on Steph Curry's foot late in the game and might have tweaked an ankle a little bit there. He was kind of hopping. It was, Austin Reeves, normally gets beat up during games, but good God, Austin Reeves was taking an enormous amount of punishment in game five. So, I mean, obviously we don't know what's coming, but short of having definitive information that three or four players got hurt and won't play or be out of the series, whatever, it's about as bad as it could have gone. Everybody got kind of hurt. The Lakers didn't win, and now we're all scared between now and Friday.
Okay, this thought crossed my mind because this was something we discussed at length on Wednesday's podcast. Did Mike Greenberg turn into some kind of oracle? Because remember, he got roundly mocked by a lot of people, including you and me, where he was saying that the Lakers aren't going to win this game five. So, because it's the Warriors' backs against the wall, like the dynasty's not going to fall in San Francisco. So the Lakers should just leave LeBron and AD to watch the game from LeBron's mansion. Maybe have them travel with the team, but none of them should play. Save it all for game six. Like, he wasn't, to be clear, before we start, turning Mike Greenberg into some kind of soothsayer. Like, he was not talking about this in terms of injury. He was talking about just energy expended because of, LeBron's age and stuff like that.
Andy, you know what expends a lot of energy? Getting whacked in the head, having to go back to the locker room. I'm just saying, perhaps you are correct.
He's going to be going to be strutting around on Get Up like some sort of pro wrestler.
Feathers all, plumage all behind him. He can afford a lot of plumage too. He's been at this for a long time. Mm-hmm. It's a really hard position to be in, for us. I mean, it's harder for AD, I'm not going to lie. But it's a hard position for us because we don't know. Like, there is a tremendous amount of uncertainty. Everything from, is he going to be able to play game six? Is he going to be able to play game seven if there's a game seven? What is the long-term impact here for Anthony Davis and all that? But there's another aspect of this that I'm sure every Lakers fan was thinking when this happened, and we'll talk about that next.
Locked On Lakers is brought to you by eBay Motors, and for a championship team, it's all about making sure every player is a perfect fit, and it's the same when it comes to your vehicle. Every part needs to fit just right. So the next time you need parts and accessories, head to eBay Motors, and with eBay Guaranteed Fit, you can make sure every part you need fits right the first time around. Just add your ride to My Garage and look for the green check to know the part will fit or your money back. And just like in sports, confidence is the name of the game when you shop on eBay Motors. And with over 122 million parts to choose from, you will be back in the game in no time. After all, it's easy to bring home a win when the right parts are guaranteed. Get the right fits, the right part, and the right prices on ebaymotors.com. Let's ride. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So the first thought, obviously, I think most people had was, oh, bleep. The second one, I think, was, come on. Like, of all the things, like, it's got to be Anthony Davis in game six of a series they're up 3-1.
Game five.
I'm sorry, game five going into game six of a series they're up 3-1. And, you know, it's not anything like he's doing wrong. He's not falling on the ground, Anthony Davis style. All he's doing is trying to get a rebound. It is pure bad luck, wrong place, wrong time. And the idea, because of how bad he looked, I mean, I know I instantly went to, well, he may not be able to play game six. And how awful that would be for AD. Forget the Lakers, just for AD on a personal level to have that happen to him. Because a head injury, while I guess, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say pro teams don't fudge the the concussionness of their players, the concussed level of concussion that they might have. But there are rules, and teams are obliged to follow them, and really should, for the health of the player. No series is worth sacrificing Anthony Davis's brain. But I mean, it just sucked. It sucked so bad. It was so deflating. And because it's a head injury, it's not like, well, it's a knee. Maybe he can come back. He can shake it off. It's a shoulder. He's played with the shoulder before. What head? It's like, what do you do? You have no clue what's coming.
Yeah. I mean, Darvin Ham after the game said that he was already showing signs of improvement, which, you know, aligns with what Chris Haynes reported afterwards. But
right.
He also made it clear on the second question he was asked about this, that he's focused on the game and was not offering any details.
Hadn't had a chance to actually talk to the doctors. I would remind everyone that Dr. Ham also was quite optimistic about D'Angelo Russell's ankle injury.
And here's the thing, too. In a series with a 48-hour turnaround, regardless of how much they actually know what's actually happening, for the purposes of gamesmanship, you're not going to be letting on anything that could hint at an Anthony Davis absence.
No.
Certainly not right now. But
the only information you make public is something that the league mandates you make public. If they don't make you say it, you don't open your mouth, and people like you and me just sit here and speculate and hope and worry and cross our fingers that Anthony Davis is on the floor on Friday.
But to your point, though, they're with Anthony Davis in ways that I think are sometimes framed unfairly, but also in ways that I think are frankly reasonable. There's always this feeling of inevitability that some shoe is going to drop with his health, because we've seen this before. And he's ultimately the force that will determine how far the Lakers go in these playoffs. Like, you know, if the Lakers, for example, and again, this is speculation at this point, cannot emphasize it enough, what we're talking about may not even come to fruition. But if the Lakers had to play a game six at home without Anthony Davis, do I think it is possible for them to conjure up, you know, a sum better than their parts and figure out a way to beat the Warriors once without Anthony Davis? Yeah, I do. I 100% honestly think they could do that. But if you're asking me if I think that they could, say, go two or three games in a hypothetical series against Denver or Phoenix without Anthony Davis and maintain any type of control of it, no, I don't think they can. Because he's the most important player on this team on both sides of the ball. So, you know, and look, we've seen it just over these last two games, one that the Lakers ended up finding a way to win, one that they could not win tonight. The more the Warriors have been able to mess with what Anthony Davis does defensively, the more vulnerable the Lakers have become. And even with those vulnerabilities, you still have to account for Anthony Davis being there.
And I think that was, you know, look, AD was not having his best game of the series by any stretch of the imagination in this game. He still finished in 32 minutes, 10 of 18 from the floor, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, and 23 points. He was vital for, particularly on the offensive side. The Lakers really struggled to just get timely shots. It's not that the statistical battle was wildly in favor of Golden State. The timing battle, I think, was. And so I want to get in the last segment to what they do without AD. But the other part of this that I just thought was so sad was like so much of the conversation in the last few days has been about how good Anthony Davis has been. And like, you mean to tell me he didn't get any meaningful votes for Defensive Player of the Year? You mean to tell me he didn't get any meaningful votes for, you know, all defensive team, for all NBA teams? Look at what this guy is doing. And, you know, it, he was at the center of a conversation among NBA nerds about some of the stupidity of these postseason awards, because he's just been that effective in these playoffs and so dominant and so obviously the focal point of what the Lakers have been doing. It was the timing from that respect. And then boom, something happens where you're immediately reminded of the general fragility that he has from game to game.
Yeah. And then you think about, you know, LeBron tweaking that ankle. He awkwardly landed after a layup. He got a pass, I believe it was from Lonnie Walker, like kind of a shuttle pass under the rim. And he finished the basket, but came down kind of weird. And it's not the foot that's been bothering him this whole time, but he was moving awkwardly. Like there was never a point after that where he looked the same. And this is even, in these playoffs, LeBron has not been looking as spry as in the past. You know, he has to pick his spots for like the true bursts of athleticism and physicality. But and look, I mean, we've gone almost a segment and a half. We haven't really broken down the game itself. And like there were elements of this game that put the Lakers behind the eight ball. They turned the ball over 14 times. They gave up 20 points off those turnovers. They did a very bad job preventing their own misses from turning into transition opportunities for the Warriors, or just the ability to scramble their defense. You know, I mean, the Golden State, in particular, Steph, but I think also Draymond Green, did a really good job creating mismatches and finding ways to put different Laker defenders in a vulnerable position. They got terrific offensive nights from Andrew Wiggins. Draymond Green, 20 points. He took 11 shots, five trips at the line. I don't know when the last time that's happened for Draymond Green. Gary Payton the second, 10 points. Like you don't expect that from him.
It's become hard games to win.
Yeah.
The Lakers didn't get crushed in the three-point battle, but they didn't win it. The Lakers didn't lose. I'm sorry, the Lakers lost the free throw battle. Golden State took 15 free throws to the Lakers, 15, but they made two more of them. So, I mean, and if they tie in terms of free throw attempts, that's a win for Golden State. The Warriors are just a little bit better.
They also killed the Lakers on the boards.
Yes, they did. Lakers just really struggled to secure that, you know, points in transition, all these little things. And the Lakers didn't take it. You know, Golden State turned the ball over, 14 times, same as the Lakers, but the Lakers didn't take advantage of it in the same way. So, I think they were going to lose this game regardless. I thought that going in, but man alive, does this wildly change the outlook and the way we look, forward to game six Friday night, which we will do next. I agree with you, Andy, that the Lakers are capable of winning a game on their home floor, fueled with a lot of emotion, with LeBron kind of maybe, going a little deeper, perhaps. And then, somebody like Russell or Reeves or Schroeder or
Austin Reeves had a really good game.
He did. He's now played two pretty good games in a row, seems to be turning the corner a little bit in this series. Again, despite having the living bleep beat out of him in this game, he played a nice game. D'Lo hit enough shots, but he hit some shots, but didn't enough of them. They just needed they needed more. And they're capable of providing it. But what do you think, like, the Lakers went really small for the last, 4 minutes of the game or four and a half while they were trying to win before they pulled the plug. Super duper duper small. Trying to, take a lot of threes, trying to speed up the game, all that kind of stuff. That doesn't mean they're going to do the same on Friday if AD can't play. What do you think they will do?
I have no idea. I was actually asked about this on Locked On Sports Today by Peter Bukowski. I did a segment with him before we started recording. And I was like, I don't know, man, because the Lakers have, for all intents and purposes during the playoffs, operated without a backup center. You know, like occasionally Wenyen Gabriel's been tossed in the mix. You know, he played an important role in the final game closing out Memphis. And he's had some spot minutes here and there, but he hasn't really been a factor in the playoffs. Mo Bamba, you know, we've heard from a lot of Laker fans, you know, that either on Twitter at Cam Brothers or in the YouTube comment section, clamoring for Darvin Ham to play Mo Bamba. You know, putting aside what you and I have talked about, how this is not the ideal time to throw a guy who's played 80 something minutes with this team into these high leverage moments. I don't even know if Mo Bamba's available. Like, he's been out with that ankle injury.
Out, correct, for game five. He was not in uniform, I don't believe.
Right. He has been dealing that ankle injury that kept him out for the majority of the time he's been here since getting traded over from Orlando. It started acting up again. So I don't know if Mo Bamba would actually be an option. Tristan Thompson has done nothing in minutes that were not garbage time for this team. I mean, not really anything.
I could understand why they might play Thompson a few minutes on Friday. I will not be in the room when that happens. I will not be able to watch that. I will follow along like on Twitter or on, you know, ESPN.com or something like that and see what happens. But I don't think I can watch that. Not because there's a 0% chance that he could do something good in a couple minutes or whatever. I'd just be too nervous. I can't do that.
I mean, I could see a lineup where you start Rui at center. I could see them looking to start Wenyen Gabriel just to keep the rotation as intact right. as possible. I mean,
LeBron
possible.
And Rui have essentially functioned as the backup centers.
Right. I was going to say also, you could see, you know, if we really want to try to pluck at the Laker fans' heartstrings and you know, the Laker fan historians, you have LeBron jump center. You know, like, I mean, what a story. What a story, people. But yeah. The truth is, and again, this is all speculative because we don't know if Anthony Davis won't even be available for game six. But honestly, I don't know what they would do. I don't really have a good inclination of what they would do because not that Darvin's been hiding his cards, you know, close to the vest when it comes to a scenario like this. This is a hand that Darvin hasn't even considered playing because he's just, for all intents and purposes, said, I'm not using another center that isn't named Anthony or Davis.
It's one of those scenarios as a coach where I'm sure they have contingencies for what if LeBron doesn't play? What if Anthony Davis doesn't play? What if down the line, D'Angelo Russell, Austin Reeves,
sure.
Dennis Schroeder, what if Lonnie Walker's not available? All the way down the line. The break glass in case of emergency scenarios for Anthony Davis can't play are not good. None of them are good. It is a very much an Argo type situation where, you know, Darvin can go and pick a lineup and pick a strategy and do some stuff. But, you know, compared to the alternative, which is Anthony Davis is available and able to play, it is very much one of those, this is the best bad idea that we have. It might work. It worked in the movie. But, you know, it's not ideal. It is, as I like to say, suboptimal. And I don't know what the right strategy is because the Lakers have really struggled in this series and certainly the last round as well when Davis doesn't play.
Yeah, and I mean, they have really struggled to find any source of rim protection whatsoever. Like they have a very, very difficult time keeping that lane from being completely vulnerable. You know, Anthony Davis is by far the biggest mismatch they can create for Golden State. I mean, Golden State still throws two or three bodies at Anthony Davis whenever they possibly can, even on nights where other Lakers are making shots, they will do this. So I don't know. I mean, the good news, also thinking about this, the good news also thinking about this is I do think that there is a lot the Lakers can do to control their own fate if AD is unavailable, if AD is limited, feeling the effects or whatever. Like, be more careful with the ball. Make sure you are getting back better in transition, on misses, like things like that. There, as much
well,
as
Golden, you know, but the problem with, I mean, I don't think you're wrong, but the problem is you have to also be, I think you have to be, I mean, obviously the defensive intensity has to be 48 minutes and it has to be, I mean, off the charts. I mean, there's just no alternative there. And I think they're capable of that. But I also think you need a certain amount of aggressiveness because you're going to need to push and play quick and do all that stuff. And it is hard. You got to be really locked in to play quickly, to play really aggressively, and also play without a lot of mistakes. And, you know, that would be the thing. But I like home crowd, the emotion of a home crowd, the sort of bleep it, we're underdogs, you know, go, you know, huevos to the wall for one game. I think it's possible. I do not think they could go back and win game seven in Golden State. I mean, yes, they technically can. I would be very much picking Golden State to win that game.
It's a tall order.
Right. If AD can't play game seven, I don't think they can win that one on the road with that much blood in the water. It's not impossible. LeBron has done some crazy stuff over the course of his career. But I, like you say, super tall order.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully this is, you know, look aheads and concerns that end up not becoming important at all because Anthony Davis is available and he's not feeling any after effects. And
I hope this podcast is totally irrelevant by like 9:30 Pacific time.
It's going to be nervous time. It's going to be real nervous time for Laker fans. Obviously, we will look to keep everybody in the loop as much as we possibly can. I don't know how much the Lakers are going to be revealing before Friday.
No, I would be surprised unless the news is really good. I think it's going to be too cloudy to do it. I mean, this is one of those, like, kind of wish you had, it's like a portal into his brain, like being John Malkovich style. Like, this would be a good time for that. But I think we're all just going to have to sit around and wait on Thursday, getting into Friday. And I don't like that. I don't want to do that. I don't like to be uncomfortable. Everything's been going so well.
Mm-hmm.
Darn it. Yeah. All right. All is not lost.
Nope.
Get your positive vibes. Send them to El Segundo. Send them to Anthony Davis. And let's hope that man's brain is resilient because that was a big-time forearm he took. Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you can go to watch the show and see the distress in our faces. And more importantly, soothe and support over 16,000 Lakers fans who subscribe to the channel. Everyone band together. We need each other between now and Friday. And we'll see everyone tomorrow.